You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In Blue Earth County, when someone thinks of a local landmark, places like the Hubbard House, Setman Mill, or the Rapidan Dam may come to mind. Yet, I don't know how many would think of another site that is in plain sight. Right in Sibley Park, the Ott Cabin.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where you're talking about. At the bottom of the road where it comes down off the hill there.
Right.
Right. So we get to learn about the story of the cabin?
We are. We're going to learn why is it called the Ott Cabin and why is it sitting in Sibley Park.
All right.
So this old log cabin, known as the Ott Cabin, was preserved and repaired by the Blue Earth County Historical Society back in the early 1930s. Then and now, the cabin commemorates the life and times of Blue Earth County's early pioneers. But as you can imagine, there's much more to the story than just that.
Of course, there always is.
So today we're going to go on a little adventure while we get to the point of how it got to Sibley Park.
Sounds like it's going to be a long adventure when you say it that way.
No, it's a little adventure, a little side road. So let's sit back and let's be surrounded by the history of the Ott Cabin. So pioneers and settlers came to this area called Blue Earth County. They settled and cleared the land. They built homes. Crops were planted. Sawmills and blacksmith shops were soon needed to support these farms. Soon as a little town got developed, a post office would be set up in a home. A general store would be built. Perhaps a school or a church joined soon after. And then all of a sudden, you have a little small settlement. Numerous such villages were scattered across Blue Earth County, only to disappear as quickly as they were formed. Some were laid out on paper, but never came to fruition. Others grew very haphazardly, and the surrounding area could not sustain them. The route of the railroad ultimately determined the fate of several. A few of these once active villages linger with a building or two still standing, while others only remain by a few memories and mentions in historic records. One of these ghost towns, if you will, was the village of Tivoli. Tivoli was 6 miles east of Mankato near the Le Sueur River in Mankato Township Section 25, halfway between Mankato and the Winnebago Agency. The area was surveyed and plotted in 1858. The plot map laid out streets, a park, and lots designated for a bank and churches. Moses Bennett had already built a sawmill and a store at this location. The store was great resource where provisions could be purchased for the area residents. A congregational church was organized that same year. However, hopes for a town to develop had been laid aside by 1870, so very short-lived. The stagecoach line from Mankato to Minnesota Lake continued to stop regularly. A post office existed until about 1900, when the mail arrived on the stagecoach. And social notes, in the social notes, these are the little gossip columns, if you will, of that were in the newspaper at the time, featured information, news of interest from Tivoli until 1936.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, what? 1936?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So, but today, all that remains is the Tivoli Cemetery.
Okay. Now, it's east of Mankato.
This is east of Mankato. Correct.
Okay.
6 miles east of Mankato near the Le Sueur River.
Got it.
Okay. So I bet you're wondering, what does this have to do with the Ott Cabin?
Well, I didn't want to get rude, but so far we're talking about east, and the Ott Cabin's more central to the west side of town, right?
No, not originally. The Ott Cabin was not originally located at Sibley Park.
Let's get to the point.
I told you it's going to be a little bit of a side journey today.
But I want to know now.
All right, so here we go. The Ott Cabin. The Ott Cabin was built in 1857 by George Ott in the northwest quarter of Section 22 in Mankato Township. This is 4 miles east of Mankato and about 2 miles from the village of Tivoli, which is why I wanted to share the little information about Tivoli, because I will talk about it a lot and you'll have no idea where it is otherwise.
Okay.
So the cabin was originally built on the Agency Road, which follows today's Blue Earth County 83. You know where that is, right?
Yep.
Okay. George came to Minnesota Territory from Indiana in May of 1857 with his wife and children. He had heard that Minnesota's weather may be better for his health than Indiana's.
Okay.
Oh, that was a big draw for people. It was supposed to be healthier to live here because of the climate. That was a big draw for those
the
early.
The humidity does us wonders.
Yeah, it does today, yes. He, therefore, set out for St. Paul and came down the Minnesota River by steamboat, landing at Mankato. And from there, he traveled east to a homestead in Mankato Township. From the native timber covering this ground, he constructed a cabin and several other log buildings with help from his children as well as neighbors. He secured the help and also assisted others by organizing log rolling bees. The boards for the floor and the roof of the cabin were finished by the local sawmill at Tivoli that was run by Moses Bennett. I introduced you to him a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the nails were made by Joshua Addy. He was a blacksmith sent by the government to aid the Winnebago Indians at their nearby reservation. So we're going to put a little pin in that. We're going to come back to that one later.
Okay.
The cabin was a one-story structure with a ladder leading to the loft. The cabin exterior was constructed of hewed logs. That means that they peeled off all of the bark.
Okay.
So it was a clean log. The cabin was chinked and mortised, plastered on the inside, and whitewashed on the outside. Many of the houses in the early days were built of split logs with the bark on the exterior. But, like I said before, Ott hewed his logs clean of the bark. So just kind of a different method of building a cabin. So that's when you look at it down at Sibley Park, you realize his was a slightly different method.
Okay.
To make the picture of surroundings of this old cabin more realistic, mention should be made of the dense forest and the little Hoosier Lake on the south. That is where Gottfried Schoestag built his first wind-powered sawmill. He later abandoned it to build a grist mill on Minnesota Lake. It was known as the Schoestag Mill. That's a topic for another podcast.
What about the Ott cabin?
Oh, okay. All right. Neighbors were known to stop by Ott's cabin often, discussing their prospects in this new state of Minnesota. Times were very hard. Ott, with his wife, gathered ginseng, which grew in the forest, and sold it to get a little bit of money. He was an expert shot and kept the family in food during the winter. As soon as he could, he cleared 5 acres of land on which he grew corn. This helped greatly to supply the family with coarsely ground meal for cornbread. To the east of the cabin was a meadow on which Ott made hay for his livestock, often at his own peril, as the rattlesnakes were quite numerous in these days, especially in hay meadows.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we got rid of those then.
Uh-huh.
Scared them out to the mountains, or the hills and caves of wherever, La Crosse, I guess.
Mr. and Mrs. Ott lived out their lives at this farm. So this whole farmstead included the cabin to begin with, but obviously they developed it over the years. Mm-hmm. George died there in 1902, survived by his wife and 4 children. His wife, Mary, also died there later in 1907. Her obituary notes that she was at the time a grandmother of 20.
Whoa.
And a great-grandmother of 23.
How old were they? Do we know?
Well, they were older, definitely, but 4 children, so everything kind of multiplied.
Yeah, I guess so.
George Ott and his wife Mary lived on this homestead all together for 55 years. The family's land was divided between the children after their deaths, and their daughter, Barbara Ott Schoestag, if you remember that name. Okay.
She married the neighbor boy.
She married the neighbor boy who then went on to build a mill. She became owner of part of the land that had the cabin on it. So upon her death, the land went to her daughter, Mary Schoestag Strobel. And I want you to remember that name for a little bit later. See, it's like a quiz. I'm going to have to. I know. There's going to be a big quiz at the end.
Great. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay.
No. There's so many little things, and I have questions about so many. But yeah, at the same time, I want to know how the cabin got to where it's at.
So you're going to have to just kind of noodle all of this.
All right. I don't want to do this, but we'll have to take a break. We'll come back and learn more about the cabin, hopefully. Will we?
We'll see. Welcome back to Surrounded by History. Today we're talking about the Ott Cabin that is located out at Sibley Park. But we are going in the Wayback Time Machine, and we're going back to the 1850s and 60s when the Ott Cabin was first built out in Mankato Township.
The Wayback Machine does not go in a straight line, by the way.
It does not go in a straight line today.
Apparently we zigzag around these stories.
Oh my gosh. And guess what? The only way to get to the Ott Cabin was an old trail that zigzagged back and forth through the woods. Along what we know today as County Road 83. In 1864, those early pioneers living in this neighborhood of this road helped to in the building and straightening out of this old trail, which led to the Winnebago Agency. Then, all of it located near the village of St. Clair.
Okay.
All right. So the trail, this trail of County Road 83, passed only a few feet in front of Ott's Cabin. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Winnebago Agency.
Okay, so I've heard a lot about the Winnebago Agency, but I don't know much about where they're at. And apparently the story of Ott's Cabin has to involve this.
It does. It does have to involve this. Okay, so the Winnebago Agency, the house, the agency house, basically was very near where St. Clair stands today. Okay, so I'll preface all of that. So that's where you put your little Blue Earth County map on your mind, and that's where we're going. In 1855, the Winnebago, also known as the Ho-Chunk, ceded almost 900,000 acres of their land near Long Prairie in exchange for 200,000 acres along the Blue Earth River in Blue Earth County. The new area was better suited for their needs as farmers than that dense forest of the Lake Prairie or the Long Prairie region. The Winnebago settled in this area in the middle of June of 1855 and attempted a peaceful coexistence with their new neighbors. Many adopted Euro-American customs, cutting their hair, building houses and schools, and wearing Euro-American clothing. Since the land was a treaty with the federal government, an Indian agent was assigned to the reservation. This reservation land was actually a very large portion of eastern and central Blue Earth County at this time. Okay. In 1859, a few years later, the Indian agent assigned to this reservation, his name was Charles H. Mix, he reported to his superiors that the Winnebago had acclimated to their new life and had a bright future in front of them. According to Mix, farming activity, educational progress, and the general health of the Winnebago were at their highest point since their arrival in Blue Earth County. So very peaceful farming. They blended right in with the farming community.
Yeah, okay.
At the same time, the Winnebago looked for a new source of income. Their old annuities that they had received in exchange for the land had expired, and they needed money to pay off their debts, improve their farms, buy equipment and stock. And also at this time, 1859, continued immigration to Minnesota had raised the value of Blue Earth County land because it's rich farmland. With this in mind, the Winnebago signed a new treaty with the government, relinquishing the western part of their reservation. However, the treaty was never ratified. Settlers and developers began to move onto the land. Frustrated by the rapid increase of settlers on their land and lacking the money needed to continue to support their farms, many Winnebago suffered right here in Blue Earth County. Then, of course, August 18, 1862, a group of young Dakota, not Winnebago, Dakota warriors frustrated over their own reservation inequities, stole some chickens from a settler family in Meeker County. Tempers and miscommunication flared between the Dakota and the settlers, sparking the U.S.-Dakota conflict. The Winnebago in Blue Earth County did not participate in the conflict. However, 13 Winnebago were tried for allegedly acting in concert with the Dakota. No evidence implicated them, and no one was convicted. However, the angry and fearful settlers could not distinguish between Native American groups. They demanded that the government remove the Winnebago as well as the Dakota.
Jeez.
Later that year, a special session of the U.S. Congress was called to approve the exile of the Winnebago and Dakota from Minnesota. A federal act authorizing removal was passed on February 21, 1863. On April 25, 1863, the Winnebago were notified that they would be moved to a barren tract of land along the Missouri River in Crow Creek, South Dakota. More than 550 Winnebago died during their removal to South Dakota. Goodness. Conditions at Crow Creek proved to be dismal, prompting many Winnebago to relocate to an Omaha reservation in Nebraska. The federal government formally created a reservation for them on the Nebraska site in 1865. Today, many Winnebago still make their homes there as members of the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. Others whose ancestors returned to their Winnebago homelands in Wisconsin are now members of the Winnebago Nation of Wisconsin.
Wow.
So, needed to tell you that because it's all happening at the same time that George Ott is building his cabin in that same area. So you can just imagine what it's like to be a pioneer settler on the prairie in this new land that's Minnesota, and why that puts a little bit of context of why the Ott Cabin is so important.
All right. I get that. And I enjoy that part of the history, that story part of the history, learning about what happened and, you know, where the Winnebago, what happened to them. But none of this has to deal with why the Ott Cabin was moved from the township to Sibley Park.
You're right. So do you want to know about that?
I feel like we could have got there a lot sooner.
Well, you know me, I have to give you context before we can
That's
go
true.
Too far.
All okay, right, go
all
ahead.
Right. All right, you ready to go to Sibley Park now? Okay. So it all started in February 1917. The Blue Earth County Historical Society put an advertisement in the Mankato Ledger that read as follows. Anybody having a log cabin or log house, excuse me, to sell can find a buyer by seeing a member of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. The society wants to put it on the grounds at Sibley Park with other relics of early days in this city and county. So it's 1917.
All right.
Okay.
Which is funny to think that, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, people have been living around the area for a long time since 1862.
Well, Ott built his cabin in 57.
Right, but when it became a city.
52.
That's what I said, 52, yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense that they're looking about history. It's interesting to think that early 1900s, they're like, okay, let's get some history put together here. It's kind of crazy.
It is, but you also have to think that this is now 60 years since those first settlers
came.
So we think what's going to happen in 60 years from now, we're going to want to make sure that we're putting a little time capsule on it. So it is a very interesting that they're thinking backwards already.
Right.
So after this announcement, quite a few years go by, and around 1930, a delegation from the Old Settlers Association, which was made up of residents who came to Minnesota before statehood in 1858.
Back in my day,
we used to do it this way. They came forward with a prospective cabin. C.A. Nockbar is a gentleman that was at the time, had secured the cabin free of charge from Mary Strobel, the granddaughter of George Ott. Do you remember that name?
Yep, I do.
All right. So,
because her mom married a
Showstock,
yeah.
Yeah, and so.
Who lived just down the street.
That's right, or around the bend. Cost of moving the building was funded by the Old Settlers Association. Nockbar then persuaded the Blue Earth County Historical Society to undertake the placement and renovation of the cabin in Sibley Park. So they have a cabin. So in 1931, they go in front of the Mankato City Council and they present this gift to the city council. Nockbar spoke to the council saying, "We've located a cabin which is in good condition. Other cities are preserving cabins in memory of the pioneers, and I think Mankato should do the same before it will be impossible to secure one. This cabin was actually used in the early days of the county and will make a picturesque addition to the park." Well, the Mankato City Council accepted the gift of the old cabin and agreed to have it located in Sibley Park and restore it to its original condition. By February of 1932, it was done. The cabin was relocated from Mankato Township, its original location, to its present location in Sibley Park. The cabin would soon be open for visitors to come, look, and learn, both inside the cabin and outside. Several articles of historical value were placed in the cabin, including an ox shoe and wolf trap made by Joshua Addy. Does that name sound familiar?
Is that the gentleman who made the nails?
He was the gentleman who made the nails. And a saw that was used by George Ott.
Very cool.
The cabin is no longer open for visitors to see inside. Some may find it less interesting than when it was originally placed at Sibley Park. However, the history of the cabin leaves no doubt of its significance. George Ott himself may not have done anything especially incredible, but his tiny cabin still stands as a testament and reminder of the hardships endured by the pioneers of Blue Earth County. Years ago, they came and began laying the foundation for Blue Earth County, the Blue Earth County that we know today, and their contributions and fortitude should not be overlooked or underestimated.
Wow, that's awesome. Such a small little cabin, though.
It is a small little cabin, and he had...
raised four kids and a wife in there. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they must have been shorter, because that's also a pretty short cabin, isn't it?
It is, but and also having it moved, you know, they may have had to do a little bit of work when they were in the restoration of
it. True.
And it's also been sitting out at Sibley Park since 1932.
True.
So for 90 years, it has been out in the park. So it's definitely a relic.
See, that's the part that I have a hard time. So you talk about history in the 1800s, early 1900s, like, okay, it's a long time ago. And then also you say 90 years ago is 1930. No, I was like just a few. Oh, that's right. It's not the 90s anymore.
It's not the 90s
anymore.
That's
so weird.
It is not. We're in a totally different time.
Yeah, well, that's the way it works, I guess.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's program as we took lots of twists and turns and explored the history of the Ott Cabin in Sibley Park. We encourage you to be a tourist in your own backyard. Visit Sibley Park, the Ott Cabin, and other local landmarks. All of the information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society and the Minnesota Historical Society. If you would like to see the building methods of another Blue Earth County pioneer cabin, encourage you to visit the Blue Earth County History Center to see the Holberg Cabin from Rapidan Township, which is on display in the museum. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.